Welcome back to our 96th episode of the Launcher Farm Show. Right under Ray Wood, who's a marketing specialist for real estate agents, a best-selling author, speaker, podcaster, and entrepreneur. In this episode, Ray and I talk about why volume is important in our business and how quantity turns into quality. Ray also shares how to attract, nurture, and convert leads and ensure you're getting now business and future business. And Ray shares what a pre-listing presentation can do for your business and why he recommends everyone have one. Ray also talks about a super easy way to add value in your farm by creating an in-depth list of vendors and service providers in your area. And we talk about how to fill your funnel with leads quickly, even if you have no leads to start with. Plus, we talk about a ton of other ideas that you can use to grow your geographic farm. So be sure to check out this episode, like and subscribe, and enjoy the episode with Ray. Welcome back to another episode of the Launch Your Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Ray Wood. Ray is a marketing specialist for real estate agents. He does some awesome things, so we're going to dive into what he does. So before we do that, Ray, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for inviting me onto the show. Delighted to connect with you. I'm passionate about real estate marketing. I'm a fourth generation real estate agent, originally from Melbourne, Australia. We auction a lot of property down there. Really interested in helping agents grow their brand, grow their business, grow their market share. I've done a little bit of homework on what you're doing with Launch My Farm, and I'm a huge fan of that whole model. I think it's really applicable right at the moment with everything that's going on. So my phone just rang. I'll kill
it. Mine did too. So we'll call it even.
I'm gonna kill it. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell. I'm a partner at a company called Jiggler, JIGGLAR.com. And at Jiggler, we create marketing ideas for real estate agents. So it's think sort of Canva for real estate, I guess, a little bit similar to that. So yeah, that's what we do. We've got about 10,000 agents around the world in over 100 countries. So yeah, we're kind of swinging to a listing focus with Jiggler. So we've got a lot of cool listing ideas there. Yeah, so that's me in a nutshell.
Nice. Yeah, you've done some really cool stuff, and I've kind of done my research on you. I recently saw you speak as well, and I was really impressed with what you do and how you do it. And you've got a book coming out, and we'll dive into that in a bit. But really, some of the things that you are passionate about is real estate funnels. So let's talk about that, so agents can understand what that is. Yep. If they're not up to date on what that is. So just kind of give us a brief Coles notes, and then we'll dive into it.
Okay. Long story short, and the rationale and the reason behind getting a funnel going and building a quantity and quality of relationships is that, I've proven time again, and I'm sure you agree, there's a direct correlation between the number of contacts or personal relationships that you have with potential clients. Yep. So there's a direct correlation between that and your income. Yep. So if you said to me, okay, the person who's got 500 contacts, are they going to do only half as well as the person who has 1,000 contacts? My answer is probably yes. Obviously, there's some variables in that, but if we all agree and understand that, then with the technology that we have today, why wouldn't we go for the moon and can get 15 or 20,000 contacts? Because that is going to be a full and consistent funnel to always be having leads. Yep. And when you're in that position, just to digress on it, because I just think it's so important, when you're in that position of strength to have leads, and you're a real estate agent, so you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But you suddenly get very selective on who you work with. There's no fee negotiation, and you attract the people that you want to work with, which is a lovely scenario. So many agents now, you know, they're maybe only doing a deal a month or whatever, or sometimes a deal every other month. It's hard, but every time I talk to somebody like that, they've only got a few hundred contacts, and many of them have been in business for ages. And now we're in this situation where the market's shrinking. There's less properties on the market. Yes, prices are taking a little bit of a hit, but you know, now is the perfect time to be getting in depth on what you advocate with your farm, and what I advocate with building a real estate funnel to attract, nurture, and convert people into your funnel, and really show them a great experience. I believe every seller wants three things. They want a top market price, obviously. They want it in a reasonable time, and I think the third thing is they're looking for a great real estate experience. So if you can package something that shows you're going to deliver those three seller wants. I think you've done 95% of the heavy lifting right there.
Yeah, it's important to have the volume and the quality, and in the volume you can find the quality. And if you are only looking for quality leads, you can find them, but the odds of you, like you said, finding more quality leads will be there when you have the volume. And yes. I remember when I got started, I think it was like the first year of my business, there's a guy in my office who was cold calling, and he was looking for just right now business. And he said, oh, I threw up X amount of people they're in my garbage pail. And I was like, well, I'll take those names, phone numbers, and email addresses, because those people will buy and sell. Yeah. And I've always said, I'd rather have 5 years to build a relationship with someone than 5 weeks. Yeah. And when you create the right follow-up plans, when you create the value for these people, someone who's not moving for 5 years will be that much hotter in 5 years from now than just trying to quickly build trust. And when you have that time and that length to follow up with them, you're going to have a much more stronger and sustainable business in the long run.
Yep, 100%. And, you know, somebody woke up in your neighborhood this morning and said to their partner, "Hun, let's get the property on the market. Let's list the house for sale. Let's pull a trigger on this." There's some motivation going on there. Could be they bought something. They could be they're moving to a new town for work or whatever it might be.
Yep.
They might be upsizing, might be downsizing, but that happened all around the world this morning in many occasions. So my question is, did you get that call? And if you're listening to this, if somebody's selling in your area, whether it's Sydney, Australia, or Hamilton, Ontario, or wherever you are, did you get that call? Because if you didn't, it can only be because they don't know you. Now, we've come out of this, I call it a 30-year boom. So I remember what it was like in 1990. So, hey, Google, turn off. Sorry, my wife's doing muffins. So I remember what it was like then, and it was tough. Mm-hmm. And we may well be revisiting those times. You know, we've come off this fantastic boom where prices are crazy, and we've all seen, you know, local prices. So, you know, this correction is here. And I really think it's exciting, Ryan. I don't think there's anything negative about this market. I think it's a fabulous time, because those that know what to do and can execute their plan and follow your procedure with the farm, and I want to hear more about that as well, but I think that's such a great opportunity at the moment, because a lot of the competition will be eliminated because it's hard. I mean, for the last X number of years, listings have been falling out of trees, and they're no longer doing that. So there's never been a better time to really get into the nitty-gritty of establishing your farm. There's never been a better time to set up your funnel and start building these relationships. Yeah. They say the average property owner knows 10 or more real estate people, right? So you know, once people do decide that they're going to sell, who are they going to call? So we got to have these methods in place where we can provide this contact and content, and we can get into content as well. But before I forget, I want to make a really important point that the content that you're sending out to your people, whether it's email or phone or social or whatever it might be, there's only ever 4 or 5% of people buying or selling property at any one time.
Yeah.
So if you're just real estating at them all the time, all property, real estate, you're kind of losing 95% of your market. So, you know, you talked before with your model, and I think you talked about CPR, and the C stands for community. And I love that, because that's what we've got to do. Yep. We've got to go in deep, go in heavy with our community and look for different ways. So that's
it. It's important, because so many people, when they're getting started, they say, well, I haven't sold any homes. I'm new to the business. I don't have a lot of experience. And I always tell them, it's like, you don't have to be a real estate expert. You can be the expert in what's going on in the community. You can be an expert in the local businesses. You can be an expert in things to do in your area. And when you position yourself that way, you build trust, you build relationships, you connect with people on the level that they're at. That if they live in that community, they want to know that you serve that community and you care about the area that you're working in. And there's so many different ways to do that other than just, like you said, just bombing them with real estate stuff. If you do real estate all the time, they're going to get bored. They're going to get tired of it. They may not want to hear it. And it definitely changes how you can present yourself. And you don't have to be that. You can be brand new, never sold a home in your life, and still come out and be that expert.
Yeah. It's interesting in these times, because a lot of the old, I shouldn't call them tricks, a lot of the old strategies that we used in the late 80s and the early 90s when we did go into a fairly serious recession for probably 4 or 5 years. One of the things that I did was I realized I didn't have enough people to talk to. And, you know, the volume of property probably halved within 6 months. So where you used to have 100 properties on the market in one area, there was only 40 or 50. So, and there were just as many agents. So we were headed for this huge shakeout. But one of the things that I did was I called it Ray's List, but I developed this long list. There was almost 100 names and addresses and phone numbers on it. But of all the people that I worked with in my community, the yoga instructor, the dog walker, the house washer, the floor sander, the plumber, the electrician, the architect, the mortgage broker. And I did this list every month, and I updated it, and I would send a hard copy out to everybody on that list. So, you know, the law of reciprocity, I guess a bit of quid pro quo, but if I was sending something out, I wanted to know that something was coming back. So I would treat all of these people as personal contacts as well. So, hey, if you're listening to this, I'm sure in your cell phone you've got dozens, if not hundreds, of people that you call on. I've got to get the garbage removed. Somebody's got to repair my car. What about my local hairdresser? Where do I buy that great coffee? Etc. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, where's the best pizza in town? And we can develop that. And then you've got the whole beautiful thing with YouTube going on. So you can get your message out there on YouTube. If we do a video and put it on Facebook, within 10 days, it's history.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even going to find it, even if you spend money on it. Right. But with YouTube, if it's relevant, 10 years later, it's there and just as powerful. And you know, with Google and YouTube being under the one roof nowadays, obviously people are, you know, their algorithms are pretty similar, and those search terms will come up. You notice how when you search something in Google, YouTube videos are coming up the top as well. So, you know, five things you must know before buying a home in Hamilton, Ontario. Easy. You could do that with your eyes shut, you know, like in 5 minutes. And once it's published, it's out there, it's working for you 24/7. So that is effective marketing, I think.
Exactly. And that helps position you, like we talk about in CPR, in that positioning as that ambassador and that expert. You can do that very easily. And you can also leverage other people. And this is one of the things I talk about, is leveraging the local businesses and the professionals you serve, is to have them work with you to create community videos, to create, you can do an interview series like I'm doing here with other locals in the community. And that allows you to let other people's professionals or other people's expertise come through you to help position you as that expert without having to have all the expertise yourself. Yeah. When you have the plumber, when you have the stager, when you have the yoga person coming on your show, you get the credibility. And I use Oprah as an example all the time. Is Oprah is not an expert at anything other than having experts on her show. And she's built that trust and that know factor because she brings on the people who know what they talk about.
Yeah.
And then she gets that clout and that credibility.
Yeah. Her celebrity, I guess, has been enhanced because she's kind of rubbing shoulders with these people that are specialists in there. And, you know,
exactly.
she's made them celebrities as well. So
exactly.
if you go out and do a video with the local mayor or the chief of police or the local parliamentarian, they're going to be wanting to send that out to their people as well. So suddenly you're in front of people that weren't even on your list. So who's this Ryan Smith guy? Okay, well, he's a realtor, but he's also, you know, somebody in our community who's giving back and adding value. And so suddenly your whole brand and persona is better than just being another realtor. So
exactly.
If you got the wherewithal to put it out there, you got to get in and have a go, I think.
Exactly. So I want to dive into the funnel side of things, because I think it's important for agents to understand funnels and what that looks like. So when you picture a funnel, you've got the top of the funnel and everything comes at the bottom. For you, what does that kind of look like? What does that stack look like for funnels, and how should it look?
The stack is in three sections, from the top, from the opening. Imagine your garden variety funnel that you get at Home Depot or whatever. You're pouring gas or whatever, those yellow ones. I think the top is where you're attracting. So everything's coming in there. Buyers, sellers, all the tradespeople that I talked about, all your mates, all your friends, all your family, everybody's going in there. Like, make it a mission to get as many people in there as you possibly can. So that's number one. Number two is nurture. So attract. Number two is nurture. Now they're in our funnel. What are we doing to them? How are we, what are we doing with them? How are we interacting? How are we adding value? How are we supplying awesome content so that when we do call them, they see my number and go, oh, hey, yeah, I've got to speak to Ray. I want to speak to Ryan because, you know, he's been in touch and whatever it might be. So so that's the second factor. Third, obviously, is the third and most important is what I call convert or converting. Yeah. And converting, I think, is about quality messaging, putting great offers out there. And an offer might be, hey, or like, for example, it's spring in Australia, right? With winter's behind us and the football finals are finished. Now we've got the racing season coming up, October, November. Beautiful time of year. The sun's out, et cetera. It's called the spring selling season. So a convert email or direct mail letter, I'm a huge fan of direct mail, but the message could be, hey, I'm in your neighborhood next week. If you'd like a property market update, bit happening with the market at the moment, like an update, let me know. Just short and sweet, that kind of thing. Okay. So that's a big part of the convert process is not always, but regular offers out to your market because you're looking to provide and deliver the real estate solution that everybody wants. And another important part of conversion is, and I don't really think this gets enough attention in real estate land, but is a really good listing strategy. I'm talking about a pre-listing kit, digital and physical, and also a listing presentation. So when I go to meet Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I sit down and I'm making my presentation, I'm not nervous because I know exactly what to do. I have a procedure that I follow. I ask the right questions. My appointment's been set up well beforehand with great client reviews. They know my clients think I'm awesome. Here's the proof, et cetera. All my bases are covered when we start talking about prices. Most listing presentations or most listing opportunities are lost, I believe, because of one of two things. They were not able to establish rapport, so going in cold, and that's always difficult. And there was an issue around price, you know. He only said my place is worth 820 to 860, where I think it's worth 950 or a million or whatever it might be. Every seller thinks their property's worth it just that little bit more than it really is. But there's a way to handle that. And let's not forget when it comes to that, just quickly, real estate, there's no recommended retail price on real estate. Is that home worth 850 or is it worth 950? We can all have our arguments, but if we're good marketers, we're also good at putting it out there, casting the biggest net for buyers, and why not engineer a bidding war? How do we do that, et cetera? So that's part of the expertise. So my elevator pitch is, well, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I use a system that helps my clients sell for more. Can I show you how it works? That's and work it from there, because you need to have something in your side, some kind of USP, unique selling proposition. Yeah. What is different about you? Because if that isn't an obvious thing in all of your marketing, then why would I choose you? If I'm not convinced that you can get me the best result and deliver on those three wants that I want, a top market price in a reasonable time, a great real estate experience, if you can't deliver that, or if I'm not convinced, if I can't see that you're not going to deliver that, then why would I use you? So again, little change in the market going on at the moment, perfect time to revisit some of these things and look at your branding and your presentation. I could bang on about this for hours. think about this for a sec. If your fee for service, I don't like calling it commission implies that I'm getting something for nothing, and everybody thinks agents charge too much, and we don't. We work very, very hard to get what we get. In fact, you know, we can work very, very hard and get nothing sometimes. Yep. So that's how we roll, but it is, you know, different like that. But if I miss that listing opportunity, let's say, call it 10 grand, let's say my fee for service is 10 grand. If I miss the listing, if I can't list Ryan's house and he goes with one of my competitors, I've also lost the opportunity to beat up around his area or get the buzz going around his area. And I'm probably also saying goodbye to two or three other listings. So, you know, that's a $30,000 proposition. So don't think of that listing presentation as 10 grand. Think of it as 30 grand. And it's a win-win or a big loss as well. Because if my competitor does win it, I've kind of just sponsored them for $30,000 because I didn't win the business. Now, we're not gonna win every listing opportunity, but the better prepared you are, the better strategy that you have going into that listing, then the more money you're gonna make. So we've gone through the attract, the nurture, and the convert, and we've actually got in front of the seller. That's the time when we really, that's our show time. We've got to make that work. So it's worth putting the effort into having a great listing presentation.
Exactly. When I was doing farming with my partner, we basically, every time we do a listing presentation, we go at the end of it and say, did we do the best job we could? Was there anything we could have done differently? If we wasn't, then we gave it our all. And if there was, next time we either go, can we make it better? Or can we go back and can we tweak things so we don't make that mistake again? And should always be leveling up. And I think it's important that you mentioned the USPs, because a lot of agents struggle with coming up with that unique value that they offer. And this is why a shameless plug for myself is that farming is so valuable, because when you do it correctly, you have a long list of buyers who are looking in that neighborhood. You've got a list of contacts of people who are looking to do something. You've got reputation in that community. You've got the brand recognition, and it helps you walk into an appointment so much easier. And I can tell you, from years of not doing farming to years of doing farming, it is so much easier at the listing table when you are doing farming, when you are that community expert, when you are the person that people recognize, because there's built-in credibility. There's built-in trust when people know who you are. And that is huge to me.
Oh, it's enormous, isn't it? I mean, I talk to agents and, you know, I often say, you know, what's your patch? What's your farm? And often it's little more than a photocopied map that's highlighted that sits on their wall. That's not farm.
Exactly.
Anybody can do that. Yeah. So you need to decide on your numbers. I mean, I'm interested to hear what you think. I like 2,500 as a round number, and I want it to be high turnover. I don't want it in the old part of town where people don't sell, you know, once every 50 years or whatever. I need it. I call it Nappy Valley, right? So I want to be in Nappy Valley where there's turnover, there's young families, they're growing, they need more space. There's they're consuming. I think that's where the gold is in real estate.
Yeah. So going back to the funnel too, then, if you are having a hard time attracting clients in that top of the funnel, what are some simple things that people can do to, other than your friends and family, to start to fill that funnel?
Can do a bunch of things. You are like strict, I guess, technically we're all looking for sellers, but it's different marketing for sellers as it is for buyers.
Yes.
So let me just, and I can come back to your question, and I'm dodging it, but hear me out on this one thing. I heard this again recently, and it really resonated with me. If I'm offering, like, here's a, you know, get a free market update. We're going to be in your area, like, you know, get a market update. We're actually off, whether I'm doing that on social media or YouTube or whatever, but I'm actually marketing a service, right? As opposed to putting a great looking professional image on Facebook or Insta or wherever it might be, I'm actually marketing a property. So the psyche or the psychology around that is totally different. You've got a buyer where we're doing a service, a seller, we're trying to reach a seller where we're offering our service. Yep. But here's a buyer who, by the way, 20-30% of buyers are actually sellers, as I'm sure you'd know in your neighborhood as well. It's everywhere. It's a totally different approach, and somebody can see themselves in the living room. They can see their family gathering around the kitchen and having coffee and kids doing their homework or watching the movie in the basement or washing their car in the driveway, doing all of that. They see themselves in the photo. They see themselves in the situation. And that's where the magic happens, I think. So that's one way. I love working with buyers because it's, you know, buyers are often sellers and buyers are often neglected as well. So there's a, you know, a different situation in Australia and New Zealand where we aren't regularly retained by a buyer. We don't split the fees. So the basic, you know, buyers have to do their own thing. But reaching out and helping buyers is a great way to open up your, bring more people into your funnel. They're like doing something locally in your area, the kind of things that you're talking about. It might be like get on our newsletter. because we're regularly featuring. There's a great real estate agent in Sydney. His name's Jason Boone, B-O-O-N, not Bourne, but Boone, B-O-O-N. So Google Jason Boone. He's in Potts Point, which is a suburb right down near the harbour in Sydney. It's beautiful. But and subscribe to his newsletter, because there's always good stuff going on there. And there's a little bit of real estate, but he'll do things like the haunted house in the top five haunted houses in Sydney or in his patch. What did he do recently? David Bowie, the late rock star, owned an apartment around the corner from his office. So he found this out and went to see the owner, and this was David Bowie's apartment.
Nice.
So that kind of thing, you know, you're gonna really attract different people, like community-minded people. I love the idea of promoting somebody else's business as well. Mario's Pizza, like why not get a photo or a video with Mario? And this is best pizza in town, Mario, will make up pizza. Here's my favorite, whatever it might be. And then back to the point I mentioned before, he's sending that out to his market. And again, you're in front of people that you weren't in front of before. So former buyers, former sellers, you know, what have you got? What resources have you got that you can offer to people in your community that they're going to want? I talked about my list before, my trades list. Thinking about that, I forgot to mention as well, the trades list is great at your listing presentation. So you want to be able to say in your pre-listing email, looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, looking forward to seeing you on Thursday at 4 o'clock. By the way, I'll be bringing with me a comprehensive list of very competitive and trusty tradespeople that I work with, and I'm going to leave a copy with you. Don't send it with your thing because they've already got it. You want to have something that they want.
Yep. So
it's awesome. Another bit of what do you call it? A bit more candy in the show bag, Ryan.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think going to the buyers too. I think there's also a subsets of buyers, and this is something I teach agents too, is that there's local buyers and there's out of town buyers, and they are both attracted to different things. There'd be local buyers who already know the community, know what's going on, so they're more interested in the house itself, and that's interesting. So they're trying to find the right neighborhood, or they know. But there are people who are not from the area that don't know the neighborhood, don't know the schools, don't know the parks, don't know the businesses. So there's opportunities for us to attract people and showcase that we are the expert by showcasing what's going on in the community. Yeah. And now you have value that you can provide to them when they're looking to move to the area. And where I'm around GTA, there's a lot of people moving in and around, but people aren't always from that area. If you're in the middle of nowhere and no one leaves your town, everyone obviously knows what's going on. But when you have a lot of people coming and going, it's really important to showcase what's happening in your community and how you can help people get in touch with the right people.
Yeah. And you're positioning yourself as the local authority.
Yeah.
You're positioning yourself as the local expert. I did an interview on my podcast recently with a guy called a lovely guy called Levi Lessig. And I can give you the link to this, but Levi is a real estate agent in Dallas-Fort Worth in Texas. So he does things like five things you must know before moving to Dallas, or he'll do little suburbs of, is it Dallas? Yeah, I think it's Dallas. He'll do like little suburbs, or then he'll do something on Fort Worth or whatever it might be. Yeah. You know, here's where you want to be. Here's average prices and stuff. And he just does it with his phone, just like walking along. Just a selfie, and then he publishes it and it's there. So, and he talks about this in the interview, but, you know, Mary Jones and her husband from Boston are looking at moving to Texas. What are they going to Google? Moving to Dallas, right? His stuff comes up.
Yeah.
Then he's suddenly on the radar. So he's making that connection, and then he puts an offer out there. So like get a moving kit from Levi, right? Here's the things that you must know. What's going to be on your moving kit? In your moving kit, your list of all your tradespeople. So you can just use this thing everywhere. And I'm just really surprised more agents don't do it.
I'm shocked. It's something I teach too. And I think it's super important because it does add value across multiple channels. And this is, again, something I teach all the time, is that we need to have a one-to-many approach, and we need to be able to reach multiple people. And by creating a list like that, you're connecting with the professionals that you're working with. You're showing them that you're providing value. So they're more likely to refer you. The people you're giving it to are going to appreciate it. The people that are seeing that you're getting it out there are going to appreciate it. And it creates trust And it creates just a win for everybody. And it makes it easier for you to say, hey, here's my people. Here's the people I trust. Here's the people that I work with. And they now know that you care and connect and support the community as well.
Yeah. And you're being something beyond an agent. You're standing out because you're just helping you. Like, I call it give to get marketing. And it's one of the most powerful things that you can do. So in all your messages, rather than taking something or asking something, you're always giving to get. I can give you this. I can give you that. Like coupons, anything. Like just there's always stuff going on. There's always things you can do. So again, back to your C and your CPR community.
Exactly. So the nurture part is important too, because I find that's where most agents drop the ball in the nurture. Yeah. There are agents who are great at lead generating. They're great at meeting people. They're great at connecting. And they drop the ball at that. I've got them in my database. Or I've got them in some way of communicating. What are some tips and strategies that agents can do to properly nurture to get them to that conversion stage?
Okay, well, let's look at our methods for communication. We've got email. We've got direct mail. And I'm a huge fan of direct mail because I know if I send a letter to Ryan Smith and it doesn't have my logo on the front, chances are it's going to be opened, right? Yep. So the average open rate in real estate email is probably sub 20% because I don't think email is dead. I like to say it's just dead boring. And you've got a I love email. It's so affordable to send out and you can engage people very easily and instantly. You've got to have a great subject line, but so many agents are scared to do it because they're scared somebody might unsubscribe. Yeah. Hey, people are going to unsubscribe all the time. They just might not be the yin to your yang. That's life. But again, if you've got a couple of thousand as opposed to a couple of hundred on your contact list in your CRM, it doesn't really matter because you're just working the numbers. So in the nurture, I'm doing a follow-up phone call. If I'm doing like a special event, so once every 6 weeks, I like to do a kind of a special event, and it'll normally be around, we call it a price drive at Best Agents. So, and we market this with Jiggler information as well, but we have a fully blown campaign. So it's going to be, hey, this is our price drive. We're providing all these market updates, whatever you might need it for, let us know. And so that might be a flyer again, direct mail. The agents that do it, some of them, if they're in smaller areas or communities, social media, obviously, and radio, you can do that sort of thing as well. Radio is talk radio specifically. Don't do it on music radio. Do it on talk radio, because people who listen to talk radio like are already pre-programmed to listen to a pitch. Yeah, people who listen to music, they just switch off when the
tune out. Yeah.
So, you know, we're lucky in this country. We've got some. Well, we can't advertise on the CBC, can we? But there is some terrific talk radio options in the GTA in the Greater Toronto area, for example. And there's talk radio stations everywhere. So you're nurturing, and you're doing stuff that's a little bit different, you might, you know, you can do anything. You could share a great recipe. You could talk about a movie that you've just seen. Maybe you've been to Punta Cana or to a great resort and had a fabulous time, and you can share a photo of that. Like, just share a little bit of yourself and put it out there, because I think people really warm to that. I also think that it doesn't need to be gloss and glamour. Yep. And the first videos that we all do is like a bit of cringe factor to it, right? So it's still a little bit awkward. But you know what? I think, and maybe this is just me, but I think there's a lot of people that think like me. When I see somebody doing that and it's not, you know, and it's not pro, I think to myself, good on her. You know, she's out there, she's having a go. I can tell she's nervous. I can tell she didn't really want to do this, but she's put herself out there, and I'm all in with that. You know, like, she's prepared to do that. I'm prepared to list my house with her, because that's the sort of courage that I want. I love that. Yep. So just have fun with people once they're in there nurturing. You can do surveys. You can do all sorts of things. So once you've got the market, then you can start to focus on that, and that's where it's exciting.
Exactly. That's one of the things I teach is called strategy stacking, when you start to layer your strategies together so they overlap and work together. And that's when you can have fun with it and start to do things that then start doubling up. Like newsletters, an example, I say newsletters aren't dead. Boring newsletters are dead, similar to your email. Yeah. Great newsletters with great content, with great things that are community-based, are going to work well. But then you can have highlighting local listings. You can have an event that you've got coming up. You can highlight the show that you've got where you're doing interviews with local people. You can spotlight things and you can use that to cross over and reach different people. You can do door knocking. And when you're door knocking, you can do multiple things when you're door knocking. If you're doing online ads, you can layer those together to create a much more holistic way of reaching people and getting people in multiple facets. If you're just doing, if you're a one trick pony, you're only doing one thing, a market shift can change things, tactics can change, technology can change, rules can change, and you can obliterate what you're doing. So you have to learn to piece those together. And this is where I find a lot of agents don't have the staying power or the decision. They get caught up and they don't want to do too much stuff. And then they go, I just want to do one thing. And it's like, you need to learn to do a few things, but do them well and do them well together. And when you do those, then you can start layering in all these different strategies and they work extremely well together.
Find a proven strategy. And be consistent with it. So typically what happens again in real estate, people start stuff and then 6 weeks later, it's kind of all forgotten because they got busy. They get stuck in the thick of thin things. So they kind of lose their focus and, oh, did that work? Do I try? Just find these proven strategies and just roll them out. I mean, a lot of the things like, well, you know, back to your list of contractors and tradespeople and businesses, once you've got that, you've got that.
Yeah.
Once you get, you know, 10 or 15 fabulous client reviews, you've got them.
Yep.
So a lot of this stuff is just like getting it there in the first place. Once you've set up your digital pre-listing kit with a great questionnaire that takes people after they complete the questionnaire, takes them to might be a video or might be client reviews. I want them to see the agents that I work with. I want the seller to see how awesome they are before they walk in the door.
Yeah.
Because they're basically pre-sold. And we live in this world of reviews, don't we? Amazon's taught us to check everything out and get a review before we pull the trigger on a purchase. And that's the same with real estate people. So, that's, you know, reviews is a very important part of your marketing.
Yeah. There's a lot of elements to it. And I think it's important to start with one thing at the top. And we talked about the funnel. And you said that beginning part, if you haven't mastered that yet, start at the top of the funnel. If you've got that and you've got the leads coming in, work yourself down to the nurture and then work your way down to that convert. So if your agents are looking to get started, they're looking to kind of get things going, what's one last piece of advice you give to agents who are trying to build this funnel and then kind of get started?
Just one. The thing that just came to mind when you said that, there's a bunch of things, but I'm really questioning the effectiveness of Facebook and Insta of late. I kind of think they've lost their way a little bit. That's my personal view. Somebody can like a post that you do, but it doesn't mean I've got Ryan Smith and I've got his phone number and his email. I haven't really earned the right to communicate with him. I can message him, but until it comes into that database, I don't have him. I've got squat. So my one piece of advice is look for ways. If you're just starting, get to 500, get to 1,000, get to 1,500, get to 2,000. Get set up with a good CRM that's actually going to work. A lot of agents say, when I make a few bucks, I'll invest that $100 a month and buy that. It's too late.
Yeah.
your competition's already doing it. You want something that you can jump on your phone on the couch at 9 o'clock at night and put an email out that says, oh, by the way, it's 9 o'clock at night. I forgot to mention that we're just going to start marketing 21 Smith Street, Hamilton in the morning. This is just a VIP message if you'd like, whatever. You've got to be able to reach out to, and that's the beauty with technology nowadays, isn't it? You can reach out to one or you can reach out to 100,000. So
exactly.
Just numbers.
Awesome. And we always wrap up with the best book. So what's one book you'd recommend that our viewers would check out? I know what it's going to be, so let's hear it.
My latest book, Real Estate Funnels. And I started writing this at the start of the pandemic, thinking it was going to be a three-month process. So I'm actually just launching it at the moment. It just went live to Amazon. I'm selling it on Amazon at the moment for 99 cents with a bunch of free downloads. So yeah, how to build and grow an outrageously successful pipeline of leads, listings, and sales. There we go.
Awesome. So that's the digital version, and then the hard copy is coming out when?
Yeah, well, the hard copy is available. I think it'll be available in a couple of weeks, but the ebook is there, and all the bonuses that I offer. Awesome. So I mentioned the URL here in the book. So
yeah. Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes so people can check that out. And how can people connect with you and find out more about what you're up to and what you're doing?
Just Ray at jigler.com or my podcast is probably easier. It's called Top Agents Playbook. So reach out to me at Top Agents Playbook. You can opt in and grab some goodies there. Yeah, more than happy to help. And when can I have you on the show?
Anytime. I'm happy. I'm always okay. All right. Like being on the other end of things on the show. So it's
okay.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I'm going to send you. I'm heading to Australia next week. But when the dust settles, let's book up and do something. I'd love to learn more about your model because I'm a huge fan of farming and you're obviously so passionate about it and you can see how well it works. You just want to share the love
exactly.
So everybody can enjoy it. So congrats on your work.
Thank you. Well, Ray, I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing your insights and your wisdom and your experience. And I know, again, if our agents apply even just some of the strategies we talk about, they will see those successes. So thank you for sharing what you do and how our agents can grow their business as well.
My pleasure, Ryan. Thanks for letting me join you on the show.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.